Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news. Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and today's episode is blessed with the presence of Taria Faison, who is the host of two podcasts. One is Tales from a Butterfly, which is all about the journey through self-improvement, and the second is the What Else is Going On podcast, which focuses on the intersection between pop culture and reality. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Megan. I'm so excited to be here, actually talking to you. As I said earlier, I always have conversations with you. You just don't hear them, and today you get to hear that.
Well, I'm really excited because you guys, we've been on the phone for 22 minutes thus far, bullshitting about nothing. So I have a sick feeling that this is going to be a very good episode.
I'm excited. I'm excited too. She's had me laughing too. And like you said, when you can tell, I love to laugh and I think laughter brings people together. So I'm listening to you cracking up and it's just like, okay, we're going to do this and have fun.
And you guys, I'm going on the What Else is Going On podcast next week. I don't know when that comes out, but tune into that as well.
And I will let you know the date because I actually wrote down dates so I don't get all confused. I'm like, so yours will be, I think, in about a week and a half, probably less time, but I'll let you know for sure.
Cool.
But I can't wait to have you on.
Yay. Yes, I can't wait. I haven't been on another person's podcast in a while. And I always say I'm a better guest than I am host of my own show because guests, like, I come in, I'm fun, I'm off the cuff. Whereas like when I'm hosting, I'm like, okay, I didn't get this fucking beat. I forgot that thing that I should have said three stories ago. Jesus.
It's so funny because I've heard you say that, but and of course I love your podcast and I also like hearing you on others too. So when I see that you're on another one, I'm like, oh, Megan. Okay. But I doing this now, I never guessed it on a podcast before until I started this one. And you are right, Megan. It is like, oh, easy breezy showing up. Boom. Right? I'm
like,
ready.
Turn on the Zoom. So I'm like, so you're telling me all I have to do is watch Bravo?
Right.
Okay. Like I would love that. Honestly, if I could like go back 2 years ago where I was just like a Bravo viewer, it was so fun. And now I'm like, I'm so inundated in the nitty gritty. I'm in the comment section of like shit blogs. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I guess this is life I'm choosing.
Me too. So I'm with you.
So we don't really recap shows on this show, but I definitely wanted to touch on what happened on The Real Housewives of Potomac this week. We had the epic fight between Monique and Candace that they have been teasing for months on the show, in addition to us like reporting on it for months. First, it was the news that there was a fight. And then there was the news, there was a lawsuit, two lawsuits. And then it was, the lawsuits have both been dropped.
Yes.
And here we are. And what is your take? Are you taking sides? Tell me what you think.
So I'm trying to be, trying to list all the facts because I feel like I'm normally pretty good at, even if I love a housewife, still kind of saying, hey, they were wrong. And it's no secret that for people who listen to my podcast or people who listen to me talk whenever, wherever I am about Potomac, that I have not necessarily been the biggest fan of Monique. So I didn't want to immediately say, oh, I'm on Candace's side, because truth be told, I didn't necessarily care for Candace's antics off screen. And so I'm liking Candace, more. But I have to say, I'm sad that their friendship seems to have gone like beyond repair, because I honestly liked them together. And I have to be honest too, you know, fighting, it doesn't solve anything. However, I know that there's times when you can get backed into a corner or feel like you're backed into a corner, get in that situation. So my only issue with Monique with this fight is the reason she's saying the fight happened. I think she's lying about the fight. I mean, when you think about, like you said, we've been reading about it for like a year, all of the blogs, the interviews led with Monique saying, Candace threw a wine glass at me and then I fought her. And it's like, well, no, you had some issues with her before and you flicked her hair three times and the wine flew out of the wine glass when you grabbed her hair in the jaws of life, death grip Money Mayweather. So like, that's my issue. I would rather her just say, I had had it. She was running her mouth and I'm done. But do you remember season 3? It was season 3, Candace's first episode, and Candace Monique, they went, remember when they met and went out?
They were like,
yes, yes.
Like just like screaming. And like, I think Ashley was like, oh, who, like someone needs to adopt these chihuahuas and get them the fuck out of here.
And what did Monique say in her confessional? She said, oh, I like her, but she gets close to you like she's going to hit you. And I'm like, girl, I'm going to have to hit you back. And I was like, oh, you manifested that. Yes. Foreshadowing. So I think that's where I am with Monique, because even now she tweeted, she punched her because of the wine glass. And what's so funny, Megan, talking about comments, people are commenting, well, technically that's true. She didn't punch her until after the wine glass. I'm like, but the wine glass came because of the hair pull. Are you crazy? So that's where I am. I feel, and I heard Candace on the Daily Dish with Bravo, and she did say that the two Chrises had been in contact in the last month, and that what she said she wouldn't share what they talked about. However, they've been in contact. And I thought that was rather interesting, because as we see, Chris Samuels really made it clear, I like Candace and Chris.
You could look at both sides in a million different lenses and think like, oh, Candace is in the wrong, Monique is in the wrong. But, you know, Candace was being incredibly annoying and really poking the bear. And then the second Monique started flicking the hair, I was like, oh, this is when it's gonna go down. And like, I don't know, it's kind of like when Kenya and who was it, and Portia at the reunion were fighting with each other, and Kenya has a megaphone in her face, and she's like, I don't understand, I didn't do anything, I'm just sitting here. It's like, no, you're screaming at her through a megaphone. If you don't think she's going to react to that, then you're crazy. You're crazy.
Right.
And I just am kind of conflicted about it. And I think I have to rewatch the episode too. But I wonder, do you think that this does have to do with the trainer and Charisse and Candace being friends and the two of them kind of like saying this gossip about her with this trainer? I don't know.
And see, here's the thing. I feel like that's what Monique would want us to believe, because first of all, Monique, we would not have even known about these rumors had you not brought up Charisse, because Charisse is not on the show. So it's not like Charisse, so we wouldn't have known, but she brings up the rumors and she says that Candace got close to Charisse. Well, we all know in real life, in quotes, even though this is, you know, real life, but her best friend, her ex-best friend of 20 years that was on the first season with her in some scenes, she started the rumor. And I find it interesting that both Candace and Monique has said this on their lives, IG lives, because it's like, okay, I get wanting to know the background, but are you guys going to be telling everything? Like, it's a lot, like when you're doing 2-hour lives. But they both said that Monique, when she went to Candace and said, hey, these rumors are being said about me, Candace was like, I know. And Monique was like, oh, you know? And she's like, yeah, but I didn't say anything to you because Chris, basically we don't believe them. So we're not gonna, you know, we didn't wanna perpetuate it or whatever, or like make you upset or whatever. And Monique says, well, I wanna serve her ex best friend with a cease and desist. Will you sign something? So Candace signed whatever it is that you have to sign when, I guess, you want to serve, when you have, maybe, I don't know if it's a witness or whatever, don't quite know how they work, but she signed, Candace signed something. She served her best friend with a cease and desist. Now, here's my thing. If Charisse was really doing all that talking, Charisse is not on the show because I know you can't sue your castmate, but why didn't she serve Charisse with a cease and desist? And why would you have Candace, if Candace supposedly is buddying up to Charisse and Charisse is the one spreading rumors, why then would you have Candace sign a cease and desist on your behalf to serve the real person? So that's why I don't think that the fight is exactly what it's about. And I truly think when Candace said at that dinner for Ashley, I didn't know you and Charisse were upset like that. I mean, just 2 or 3 weeks prior to that, there's a picture of them floating around. They were all together. So how did that get so bad in 3 weeks that you're physically fighting her, and but you're making your storyline a mad at Candace because Candace is friends with Charisse? And let's not forget Monique's hot mic moment when she walks up to her laughing and was like, I had to do it. I knew you were going to be mad at me. We're going to talk off camera. It's like, okay, Monique.
So what is it?
Yes. And then just one last caveat. I'm sorry, but I want to get this out to you because I want your thoughts. So that when they went to Andy Cohen's baby shower, I get Candace, Robin, Ashley, Karen, and Giselle. And afterwards they went to dinner. And then Karen has since said it was Giselle that said, hey, for next season, let's say that Monique's youngest child isn't Chris's. Candace said she felt really awkward because she's friends with Monique. So she just said, that's never going to work. That baby looks nothing like him, hoping the conversation would move on. So, but she didn't tell Monique because she felt like it's dead and squashed. But then Giselle wanted to, because Giselle wanted to bring it up at the reunion, and I guess producer stopped it. So how then, Megan, could she sit and film for someone that has 4 homes? You more than likely probably don't need the money. So how could you sit and film with Giselle when she was going at wanting to go after your family and actually plotting allegedly, but you're fighting Candace because you're saying she's friends with a woman who is allegedly spreading rumors about you? Like, I don't know if I could do that. It just doesn't make sense. And Monique said, well, I was just doing my job. I'm like, this woman allegedly went after your family. Like, that's a lot.
I kind of think Giselle is kind of like a Kyle Richards. She's like in people's ear. They started the season where Giselle and Monique were like BFFs, like planning the baby shower together. Like all of a sudden it was like, wait, like when did this happen? Last season you guys were not cool. And now this, and it just seems like Monique kind of wants to be like, I think like in the cool girl club, which is like the green eyed bandits, even though like, I don't think they're cool. Like I think she wants to be with them rather than Candace and, you know, Kern Huger like is in her own little world. But I think she really wants their approval. And so at a certain point, she's like going to go and be down and say anything. And I think Giselle really does stir the pot. She's the one who brought the conversation of the trainer up on screen. Like we wouldn't know about it if it weren't for her testimonial. And also coming from Giselle, who is like, honey, you can't throw stones in any situation. Like you came on this show saying cheater, cheater, pumpkin eater. And now you're back with him. And now you're like, oh, well, she's a cheater. It's like, well, are cheaters okay or not okay? Because clearly you can forgive. So why couldn't Chris forgive her if she wanted to cheat? Who fucking cares? Like,
you know what? That's a good point, Megan. If you can forgive, why? Right. That's a good. And she was upset when they were asking about Jamal. Remember at Candace's Lemon Diamonds? Yeah, that's a good point.
Potomac's real good this season, real juicy. I can't like watch as the shows are going out just because I don't have like live cable. By like Wednesday, I'm ready to start watching Bravo during the week because like it's just too much where I'm like, I'm also like rewatching Gilmore Girls from the start, which is very
That's cool.
Embarrassing.
I know it's not. I loved them. Rory and all, I love that. Lorelai.
It's just so good. It's so good. I want to like, I wish I could start a Gilmore Girls podcast. Like that would be so much fun. That'd be my dream. But I think they already exist. And also like 8 seasons of 22 episodes. I have literally no time anyways. But Potomac is like always the one I go to first. I would say like Potomac, Below Deck Med.
Yeah.
And Roni's Dunzo. Womp, womp. Well, actually, what's OC comes back.
Oh, yeah. Is it next week or is it? It's next week, right?
Real Housewives of OC premiere.
I know it's like very soon.
October 7th. Oh my God. This fucking week. There's no buzz around it, which is actually a great segue into some Real Housewives of OC mess.
Okay. I'm ready.
So
obviously, Kelly Dodd has been incredibly ignorant throughout the entire coronavirus. She is about to wed next weekend a Fox News correspondent. So if you don't think her facts are potentially biased, come at me.
Yeah.
So she was recently at a plastic surgeon's office, maskless, and was like, "Hey, doc," like in that annoying, like horrific,
yes,
piercing voice. She was like, "Tell the followers like what you think about wearing masks." And he's like, you know, wearing masks, like these kinds won't help you. It was like a more flimsy one. He's like, "But if you wear the N95s, that'll really help you." And she turns to the camera and she's like, "Pants don't contain a fart, so it's basically the same thing. So why do we have to wear masks?" Like,
I was livid. Because I was like, she is the COVID clown. That is her new name. And second of all, nobody's asking your opinion. Like, almost like one of those people who, if you knew you were right the first time you went to a doctor, and because I think she did something similar before, would have been enough. But when you don't think that, when you might not kind of be sure, you're trying to convince people, you continually seek people out to agree with you. Like, we don't, you think we're going to take your advice? The same person who said, "You're the masters and we're all the puppets." Get out of here. Like, no, she said, "You're the puppet." No, what'd she say? You're the masters and we're the puppet. Whatever she said it backwards. God, now I sound like Kelly. Oh my God, rewind.
Are you kidding? That is like the definition of how my brain works, like full dyslexia constantly.
I'm like, oh, that's what she said. She goes, yeah, she was trying to call somebody a puppet master and called them basically the puppet and everyone else masters. And I'm like, you do realize you said that wrong, right? So, but it just annoyed me that she felt the need to do that. If you don't want to wear a mask, as disgusting as it is, you don't wear one. But to put that on your platform and to spread that information and get people riled up, it's like, you know what you're going to cause when you do that. Why are you going to do that? Somebody reported her wedding date, you know, for the 10-10, mm-hmm. and a commenter commented and was like, "Oh my God, my fiance and I were going to get married on that date too." And she said, "Congratulations." And I'm thinking, did you not see you know? So then I commented back, is COVID going to be the bridesmaid or the maid of honor?
Oh my God. Which I literally think I respond, saw this post. I think I saw it.
I was like, I just wanted to know, but I think what she's doing is also dangerous, but also we have to know that we cannot take information from Kelly Dodd. I don't care what doctor she's talking to.
Well, Andy Cohen actually went on his radio show and basically said the same thing. He said, "I think that her posts show how woefully uninformed we all are and what a horrible job this administration has done to inform us about this disease. We are now 8 months into this and we are chasing our tails and they're giving us completely contradictory information." And concurrently, if you are going to Kelly Dodd for advice about what to do in the face of coronavirus, there is a big problem. I think that, you know, you should consult your doctor, do some research, and maybe don't consult your plastic surgeon. Clap back.
I kind of wish he had directed it to her, like, Kelly, you know. But at this, and then I started thinking, like, I was really irritated by his response, like, call her out, do something. Then some people raised the point, like, maybe he's letting her hang herself, if you will. Like,
I think it's gonna be a rough season for her. I think the viewers are really gonna struggle with the way she's been handling all of this. Like, say what you will about how you feel about the coronavirus, like, there is just like a general lack of respect for people when people are dying. Like, casual 200,000 Americans are dying. Like, you know, you look at something like 9/11, where I don't know, maybe 3,000-4,000 people passed away. Like, it was a horrific national tragedy for our country, but this is equally as damaging and has happened in such a rapid pace and is not stopping anytime soon. She's not looking at it from a national disaster kind of standpoint. She's really just saying, like, it's a flu. It's a flu. Yes, in a way, if you can't help cure this flu, then it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And being completely disrespectful of flying rules and masks. And she has almost a million followers. You can't lead with such ignorance. And you can be an ignorant fuck, but just don't do it on the internet.
Right.
Do that with your people in Orange County, where she says Well, nobody in Orange County has coronavirus. Well, I probably would like to see some numbers because I have a crazy feeling that someone in a big city has it.
Oh, well, so Megan, my son graduated high school this year and he got accepted to Chapman University in California in Orange County. In Orange County. And he was supposed to be there like right now, but their numbers were continually spiking. So, and I'm in a Facebook group for the parents, right? And so I ended up meeting like in quotes, a mother who DM'd me and we were talking and she works in the hospital and she calls people with the positive results. Oh. And she said, it's good that you kept your son there because basically the news wasn't reporting everything. So then we see their number spike. And then some of those same parents, and that's why I told my husband, I'm like, are we like, should we not even be letting him go? Because, you know, they have the minds of Kelly Dodd out there. Cause I'm watching these parents in these Facebook groups because the dorms were, you know, campus was closed. They were moving their kids to apartments outside of campus, telling them to form small groups. And guess what happened? There was a bit of an outbreak.
Shocking revelation. Also, right. How are you going to try to contain a bunch of young kids? Like, they're Thank at college, you. They're away from their parents. All they want to do is like make out and drink beer. Like,
exactly.
Good place to be, you know, quarantining and trying to like maintain social distancing. And none of that will happen if you put kids together. They'll find a way to hang out and it'll just spread and get worse. And
yep.
Thank God your son is, you know, home and healthy. Yeah.
He's taking the classes online. He's supposed to go in January. I'm a little nervous, but I'm like, at least their numbers have gone down. But I said, if the parents, the parents were literally like, my child deserves their college experience. Well, it's not like high school. All of our kids didn't get to walk across the stage, but you will eventually be able to live on campus if you stay home. People were driving like across the country, their kids taking them there. And then when their kids were getting sick, I'm like, what do they do in jail to drive people crazy? They put them in solitary confinement. So if your kid gets COVID and you're in New Jersey and your kid's in California, you can't get to them. They're going to be in a room by themselves for 14 days. Like, really?
It's so messed up. Well, I heard the state school in New York had a situation where they were, there were like a ton of kids who got it. And then rather than like having all of the kids just like quarantine at the school and figure it out there, they sent them all back to their middle-aged parents. It's like, oh, great. That's exactly what you should do. Put them back into other people who are potentially susceptible.
That is a good point, Megan. Oh, I did. Cause I saw that and did not even think about that. Oh my God.
Well, speaking of other people in OC who do not believe the coronavirus is real, Lydia McLaughlin, who is just the biggest stain on the Real Housewives of OC. And like, that is saying so much considering yes. all the pigs who have been on that show. Pigs, that's nice. So I had mentioned a couple weeks ago, I think it was episode 124, I don't know. And I was talking with Aaron Martin about how Lydia was getting a web series on Bravo called Glitter Town, where her and her mom spread love and laughter. And all they want to do is smile and brighten your day. And if you could see me right now, you'd see like my hands moving like her. She has like crazy wrists, like long straight arms and like a windshield wiper wrist.
Yes. Yep.
Like that's very much her body type. And so I tried to watch the web series and
how was it?
Didn't take. I couldn't watch it. Like, you know, I understand escapism. I respect it. I try to make this show an escape. We were talking about that earlier. Of course, like everybody needs to get out of like the horrific reality that we're all living in as Americans. Well, everybody in the world at this point is kind of probably struggling, but her show is like us just hanging out. We want to be silly. We don't want this to be about drama. And so there's no point to it in any way. Like I watched like the first episode and it's them being like, so what should this show be about? Like, what should we do?
What?
And I'm like, keep that in the pre-pro meeting. Like, do not come on my screen with what should we do? And it's like the two of them sitting in the Plaza Hotel, like, okay, keep playing Eloise in your head. Like they're like frolicking through Central Park. Oh my God, we're going to go on a horse-drawn carriage and then we're going to have glitter. we don't need this. Like, we
know
if there is going to be escapism, it has to have a point. Like, it has to have a reason. Like, Bravo, you guys gave them money for this, and you paid editors, producers, you know, graphic designers. So many people were employed for this horrific show. The only other Bravo web series was Stassi's.
Yes. Oh my.
They're Bravo. You have to cut it out. Like, you can't do this to us. This is not fair.
And when they were saying, oh, and like, my mom likes to hide around a corner and throw glitter, I'm like, word to the wise, do not throw glitter at a woman who just got her hair done, maybe wearing contacts, may have just got her lashes done. That could turn Potomac real, like, are you joking?
It was my birthday last or 2 weeks ago, and someone gave me a gift bag, someone I love. And then I like looked at my shirt and I was like, oh, my shirt is covered in glitter. And she was like, I thought it was cute. And I was like, it is a cute bag. I'm just now covered in glitter.
Right.
I like glitter. I love glitter. Glitter pens, stickers with glitter on them. But I need to choose the glitter in my life. Like, I can't have unsolicited glitter.
Right. Like, what about those glitter, those glitter boxes that people can send? I would be so mad.
No. A couple years ago, one of my dipshit friends sent me, you can send like a bag of dicks and it'll give you like a little bag of gummy dicks. It's literally probably called like sendabagofdicks.com. And I was like living alone at the time, and I opened this box and like no one asked me for my address. And I like am so like wildly insecure in certain situations where I was like, oh my God, who sent me this bag of dicks? It says eat a bag of dicks. Like, what is this? Like, what did I do? Like, oh my God. I was like, yeah, I've like, you know, probably said some fucked up things. I've got some. And then I was like writing my group chat where she was in it. And I was like, oh my God, like, look at this bag of dicks. Like, I'm so sad. I ate all the gummy dicks. Like, I don't know what happened. And then like 2 weeks later, she was like, dude, I forgot about even the joke. And I forgot to tell you it was me. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
I had sleepless nights over this bag of dicks. But if that were glitter, I'd be awake for a month.
Right. Like, oh, wait. And the fact that I ate them and I still don't know who they're from.
Shame eating gummy dicks. Just because I was like, I don't know. I don't know who could do this. Like, what did I do? What did I do? It's like my dumb friend just like bored.
Now that could be a web series.
Yeah.
Like, gummy dicks.
Just sending people bags of dicks. Let's actually write that one down. Oh my God. But yeah, Lydia, unless you're like wearing a Charlie Chaplin outfit at a drag show, like feeling like God is going to strike you down, I don't want to see you. And also, she's like really into this QAnon vibe where it's like anti-mask, stop sex trafficking, all these things. And it's like, honey, you're clearly getting your news from Nobleman magazine, because some of the shit you're saying, obviously, don't get me wrong, let's try to end child sex trafficking. I'm not saying anything about that, but the background of some of the things that she supports, I think she gets her information from like YouTube videos.
Yeah. And not only that, it's like, okay, what's your plan? So you're getting everyone all riled up. What's your plan to end sex trafficking?
She's like, excuse me. I went to a march with 18 other gorgeous, tall, white women. None of us wore masks. We had signs that looked like we were at Woodstock being like, end kid slavery. It's like, okay, cool. Then what did you do? Go back to your fucking mega mansion and like do nothing? Like, it's so ridiculous. It's so performative. Yes. And when that was happening, obviously a lot of these like bullshit
I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like, it's not bullshit. That's like during like the peak of the Black Lives Matter protests all throughout our country.
And they're trafficking them through Wayfair. And the funniest thing is like, so you guys are protesting because Wayfair is delivering a dresser and kids. However, you support someone who has those detention centers, and guess where they get the beds from? Wayfair. You got just what I need. I'm like, you're a hypocrite.
Okay. Honestly, TBH, now I'm like kind of depressed because all my office furniture is from Wayfair.
No, I got my daughter a beautiful bed from Wayfair.
I was like, oh, fuck.
No.
And they like reached out to me and they were like, you can have a business account. So now I'm, maybe I shouldn't be exposing my scam on my show to thousands of people, but I've been buying all my personal furniture through like this business account. And if you guys like Wayfair shit, sign up with a business account and you get mad discounts.
I was just going to say, if you're exposing yourself, you won't be the only one standing. I'll be standing right there with you, holding your hand, waving my Wayfair discount. My daughter's bed would have been like $800 and it was like $235.
Get it, girl.
So I was like, because they did the business, they sent me because email a business or whatever. I'm guessing it's because of the email, but a business account. So I was saying that for the QAnoners, how are you? Because, you know, they're out there saying all these things about Wayfair. So you hate Wayfair, but you support the detention centers that get their beds from Wayfair. Okay. Makes a lot of sense. We got you.
Like, oh, yeah. You're making tons of sense. Yeah. Well, one other thing from OC, this past weekend, there was some drama with Bronwyn Burke and her husband, Sean. Supposedly, they have been rumored to be breaking up. She's been doing a lot of thought posts saying
hot girl
like,
summer.
Yeah, hot girl summer. It's like, honey, this is hot girl fall. Like we are moving seasons. Your hotness is transcending the seasons. So she has been posting, yeah, hot girl summer pics, thought. I saw a couple like blind items, which sometimes I believe, sometimes I don't. And then her daughter, the name, Rowan. Her kids have some funky little names.
Yeah.
I sound like Vicky. I'm like, Brown Wind? Like, but her daughter, Rowan, like posted like a picture of herself and then wrote this. Oh, the caption just says, fuck you, mom.
That's exactly, Megan, that's exactly how I pictured her saying it. Sorry to interrupt, but it's so funny. Mom. That's how I pictured
it. Clearly, I've said it before. Actually, I've never said fuck you to my mom. She'd literally start to cry.
I wouldn't be alive talking to you in this wonderful moment right now. I'd have no teeth. Like,
yeah, no, I always like remember seeing like friends like that in high school who'd be like, fuck you, mom. Like, I don't even care. And I'd be like, what? Like, I called my mom when I was in seventh grade. I called her stupid. I was like, you're stupid. Get out of my face or something along those lines. And she started to cry in front of me. I was like, well, what am I going to do now? Like, yelling at you. You're crying. I can't even.
Right.
This isn't even fucking fair. I'm the one who's upset. Not you.
You said, wait, now what am I supposed to do?
Yeah. I was like, okay, now I'm coddling you. This is some reverse psychology shit.
Yes.
I don't like this.
Your mom is probably a genius. That is a good way to reverse.
You're going to take notes. You're like, okay, next
just like,
time.
Okay, next up. Yep.
So, you know, supposedly they're broken up. So I guess we'll see what happens. But Bronwyn is going to Salt Lake City this weekend and she's hanging out with some of the ladies from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and Carrie Brittingham from Dallas. So I wonder
saw
how they
that.
All are kind of friends. But and I was thinking, I bet there's going to be some big Salt Lake City like premiere thing. Like I wonder how they're going to handle a premiere party, because usually it's a serious premiere. Like they need to have like a big thing. And I feel like all these housewives are like, travel's okay if you're rich. Travel's okay if you're rich. It's completely fine. No.
Megan, yeah, that is the message. Travel's okay if you're rich. Well, do you think that they're going to use, remember when Katie, Lala and Stassi went to Utah and supposedly Katie and Lala may have had something to like, or a way to introduce Salt Lake City?
I think they were at like literally a Post Malone or Lil Wayne concert. Like, I think it was like something so off brand for Salt Lake City. I'm like, what?
Right. Like, okay. So I wonder if they're going to use them to introduce them, but how would they use them to introduce them if Vanderpump Rules is not even on? So like, what would they, how, because normally Vanderpump Rules comes, like one time, didn't it come in December and then another time like January or something? So like,
yeah, usually in the beginning it was coming in December and then past year, like, well, I'm like, and then this past year, I remember exactly where I was when I found out the premiere date. I think it was in January because I can't remember like what was going on, but I can't remember what was going on in my life, but I had like two very important deaths in my life, like at the end of last year. And I remember like my brother, who's like a big pump head, he like looked at me and he's like, you know, thank God Vanderpump Rules didn't start when all this was going on. I was like, you're so right.
Well, first of all, I'm sorry for the big losses, but at least you had something to look forward to, right? I mean,
it was kind of a subpar season, so I wouldn't necessarily say it lived up, but it was something.
You are right. Yes. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I can't wait to see, but you're right. As far as, cause they're not going to be doing like, do they do that upfronts every year?
They usually at the beginning? Do. I wonder if they're going to do a digital one.
Oh, right. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. Salt Lake City is, at first I was like, why are people, and I'm sorry if I'm jumping ahead, but when you said Salt Lake, I thought at first when the trailer came out, I was like, am I supposed to be excited? I don't know how I feel. I don't know if I saw anything. What's the temperature? And then reading the bios or their descriptions, I was like, whoa, what? Okay, I think I'm in.
I have an episode coming out next 2 weeks that's like a recap of the trailer, which is just disgusting. Like, there's like creepy relationships with people's grandfather. I'm like, what?
It's like
the fuck.
Even if you're not biological, you were married to my grandmother, and now I have a child by you, and I'm married to you.
Did he change your diapers? Like, what?
Oh my gosh. That's fucked. So yes, thinking about that. Oh my. But you know, there was a rumor. This is funny. Has nothing to do with the Housewives, but I guess could be like a Housewives storyline. There was a rumor. This had to be like 2009. This is how long ago it was, because I was still working. Of Morgan Freeman having an affair or dating his step granddaughter. So it's now kind of hilarious and weird and creepy that we're seeing that play out on Salt Lake City.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm like, is he Mormon? I'm like, that's like the only excuse.
Yes. Is that you, Morgan? Like, what? Are you Mormon? Like,
what? Yeah, yes. No. I don't fuck with any of that. Like, get those Woody Allen freaks the fuck
yes.
out of my life. Like, I can't. Like, what? You can't find another man? You go for your grandma's sloppy seconds? Oh God.
And I wonder if we're going to find out it was him, because it was something to do with,
of course it was. He was creeping on her the minute she was a child, the minute he could, he was probably like, wow, she's so cute. Wow. She's so cute. He probably made some creepy ass moves. The wife dies. He poisoned her. And he's like, I'm going to get fucking sued by a bunch of really wealthy Mormons.
Nope, cause we're saying allegedly
poisoned and killed his wife.
But you know what? Did you read or did you hear? And I'm like, there's so much going on in Bravo. You're like, wait, did I make that up? Was that a fever dream? But I thought I heard that she married him to be able to keep like the churches and like the money in the family. So I'm like, ill if he used that over her head, like, marry me and your family will be good. Like, ugh.
Ew, grandpa's gotta go. Like that, like imagine being the kid of that dad. Like,
and now your mom's on TV telling people.
Ew, yeah, stay in the house. That's behind closed doors kinds of conversations. I don't need to be a part of that.
I agree.
Well, speaking of other new shows that are coming to Bravo, Bravo just recently launched a new late night series called Bravo Chat Room, which is kind of like a panel show with Summer House's Hannah Berner, Potomac's Giselle Bryant, Below Deck star Kate Chastain, Real Housewives of Atlanta star Portia Williams. I was nervous going into it, but I just watched the first episode just before we got on, and I loved it. Granted, it is potentially doing exactly what I do on said show. I was watching, I was like, this is an amazing concept. I wonder where I've heard of it before. That's crazy. But I liked it. I liked it a lot.
When I first saw it coming out, So as far as Below Deck, I was always a Hannah girl and never a Kate girl. So I was like, I don't know about Kate, but I'm like, well, you know, at least she's kind of in the middle of Giselle and Portia's age, I'm thinking, or whatever. But when I saw Hannah, I was like, how is that going to work? Because it seemed like how Tinsley was the bridge for New York. Like you go from Tinsley to like, Tinsley could vibe with Leah, but also have ways and be kind of not bougie, but you know, like Ramona and Luann.
Yeah, it's like hanging out with her mom. I mean, like yes. Ramona is very Dale-esque.
Right. Yes. So Tinsley was our bridge. So I was wondering on this show if we were going to have, was it going to be like a hard, like a rough stop? Like, oh, you're talking to Giselle and Portia and Kate. And then all of a sudden it's like, Hannah comes in with something that you're like, wait, what? So I didn't think the first show was that bad, but I did want to feel like with those shows, eavesdropping on girlfriends having a conversation. So of course they're talking to the audience, but you're kind of like eavesdropping on your friends to make it feel like natural. I will say the second show was much, much better. I liked the first show, although it wasn't lost on me. Like you said, the concept is what you do. And Sasha from the Bravo breakdown that she's been doing.
Literally my jaw was on the ground when I heard that. And I was like, is Sasha like moderating? And I was like,
right.
No, of course. Just hijack a great idea. I love to see it. We love to see it.
I could not believe it. So that was like, okay. But so the second show was a bit better. And I thought, oh, maybe they're just saying the Bravo breakdown the one time. And I'm like, oh, they're going to be saying this like every time. So I did think the second show was a lot better. It was kind of weird when they had, not weird, but when they had Hannah's mom on the second season, it wasn't weird. It just was like, when you see it, I think you'll think it's a even better show than the premiere show. I feel like they're kind of finding their groove. And at first I thought Portia was going to moderate, because you know how she seemed to moderate the first show.
Yeah, she kind of like started it and I was like, ooh, yay, like let's just do this the whole time. And then they all kind of like came in to do segues, which I thought was like a creative way of doing it, because mm-hmm. You don't want to make one person feel like they're clearly the Beyonce of the group. but I did kind of get excited when I saw Portia kind of taking the lead a little bit.
So when you have to DM me and tell me what you think about the second episode, because Giselle's box was, all their boxes were mixed up. So Giselle's box, which I guess now thinking about it, but it was where Portia's was, and she started the episode like, guys, welcome, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, I wonder if they're going to do that, either switch it up every week or how they're going to do that. But it was pretty good. And I actually have to say, people would always say, oh, Kate's hilarious. And I'd be like, what? But I actually am starting to like her, even though it's only been two episodes on this show.
Who cares?
And Hannah was pretty good too. Yeah. I'm actually seeing Kate's sense of humor that people have like talked about. She's like funny. So
she's very dry and she's not afraid to go there, which I really like. Yes. I really liked her. She was like, let's stop talking about Stassi fucking Schroeder. Get her off our TV. And I liked that. Yes. And I know they've, I think, had beef. I think like I read somewhere a little while back that they have some beef. Like Stassi was very rude to her when they met somewhere. But yeah, Kate, I think, was like a little rougher on the edges in the first episode. She is like a little bit, I think, someone who like needs to kind of grow on you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And on the show, like, it was hard to watch because I loved her personality. I loved when she was like quirky and weird. But then like a couple seasons ago when she was like trying to kick that girl Caroline out and was like blasting the music and like making her feel so uncomfortable. And of course that girl was like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, but like, you're still the boss. You need to take the higher road.
Right.
It just like made me feel uncomfortable. Like I just imagined myself like being behind the door with someone like blasting music and like making
crying.
Me like crying inside, and you know you're being filmed and all of this stuff, and she's snickering out there at Josiah like look at what we're doing. It's like, okay, but like that's like very mean.
Right. And what about when Caroline was going on these Twitter things and saying all these things? However, one thing she did not lie about was they did scream herpes outside of her door, because when they released that footage of them, I felt like so bad when Kate and Josiah were saying that, oh, Kate, that's why you have herpes. I was like, oh my gosh, she wasn't lying about that. And I was surprised that Bravo actually played that.
I mean, it's like very cruel to like say that to someone. It's like, right. Okay, yeah, like STDs like aren't fun. And like, just like anything else, not something you want to talk about. And also people have said like horrible things about Kate, like that she drinks all night and she does cocaine and all of these things, where it's like, if she was on Captain Sandy's ship, obviously she would have been kicked off a very long time ago with the thought of cocaine. Oh my God.
Right. Maritime following her to the bathroom. Leave the door open.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm excited for it. I'm down to keep watching. Too. And I was like, when Hannah was like, Giselle, your dad is hot. I agree with her, but like, honey, no, he's in his late 80s. No, you just don't do that.
Remember when she said, she's like, he's a zaddy.
Oh yeah, Portia doubled down. It's like, Portia, you need a good man like Giselle's dad. Like, that's who you should be with.
He clearly speaks his mind.
Like, oh my God. That was awesome. When he took the mic off, I was like, he thinks he's done. And it's like, no, you got to press the off button.
Megan,
just because
I was
you take it off doesn't mean it's off.
It's off. I was in my room, Megan. I was on my bed. I jumped up and screamed, no. I literally had a visceral reaction. I was like, no.
Yeah, I appreciate that he like supported her and her choices, but I'm also glad that he's like, fuck you. This guy is a dirtbag. You don't need this.
Yeah. He's because that's still, I don't care if she's 40, 50, whatever. That's still his daughter, his baby. So like, yeah.
Speaking of other dirtbags, Jax and Brittany from Vanderpump Rules had their gender reveal this weekend, which again, like we said last week, gender reveals are canceled. One, like by the time your kid is 18, it's probably going to be like, I don't want to be that gender. Anyway, so let's let's like move on. And the fires, all of it. You love the baby, but how many parties are we going to have for this kid?
Right.
I'm like no one in my life has ever had one. I don't know why I'm like so passionately against them, but here I am.
It's a lot. Well, the lady who created them, and I'm sorry to stop you, but she said that she wished she had never started. And I feel like she came out and said she wished she had never did it. And a friend of mine said the gender reveal used to be in the labor and delivery room. Hey, surprise. You got a boy, you got a girl, whatever.
I feel like that's kind of fun. Like when I have kids one day, like I feel like I would love to do that. Like that feeling of like, oh my gosh, like,
yeah.
You don't know what you're going to get. Like, it's so exciting. It's so fun. And obviously you just want a healthy baby, but
yeah,
it's like, oh my God, it could be anything.
Oh, so you wouldn't find out. You would want to be surprised.
Oh yeah, totally. Cause I would like get so in my head. Like then I'd be like laying in bed being like, me and my daughter are going to get manicured. I don't know. Like, it's like an adventure. It's like, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, that's very true. And then everything is so neutral now. You could buy the crib, do the room, and it could go for either way. So I could agree to that. Yeah.
So Jax and Brittany are having a little boy. Jax posted a photo of him holding a onesie saying number one guy in the group on it, which is, hilarious considering he was like snorting 40 rails of coke before he said that. So let's put your child in that. It's a great memory, I guess.
Great little callback.
So Tom and Ariana did not go to the gender reveal party, which is not really surprising. I think they might have cut ties. I can imagine how horrible the two of them were about COVID stuff or the Black Lives Matter stuff. Like, I can't imagine what it was like behind the scenes. And then also like the fact that she's been pregnant, they've been trying to get pregnant. I can imagine Jax like has just been like, yeah, we're just trying to have a baby. Like, that's all they talk about. And they're like, Dom and Ariana, you guys wouldn't get it. Like,
it's like, right. Oh my God. You're right. You're right. Yep. Did you it's funny because I know you did because you are the news expert, taking notes of who was there. I was like, okay.
Actually, I definitely obviously saw Randall and Lala, Stassi and Bo, which like Bo is like, I'm gonna tell their son to not hit on our daughter. I'm like, you need to move states so that your kids don't know each other if you really want to not have any Jax and Brittany spawn rubbing off on your kid. And like, also like, that goes for Jax and Brittany towards you guys too. Like, it should be like, like both of you, all of you guys should not be friends anymore. Like, at this point,
it's like, goodbye.
Are you done? Like, you've all fucked each other. Like, that's so weird. Like,
right. And it's like, and you're all friends. Like, okay. That's nice.
Were Tom and Ariana, not Tommy and Ariana, were Schwartz and Katie there?
Oh, you know what? That is, because I haven't heard them mentioned. I have heard about why Sheena wasn't there, which is like really sad. Ooh. And Lala said in People magazine that, she had a pregnancy pact. So that's why they're all pregnant.
Creepy. Like, that's weird to me.
Exactly. Like, it was like, okay, wow. She said that, I looked it up real quick because I knew I saw it. She said that she yanked out her IUD to honor her Vanderpump Rules cast baby pack.
Like, honey.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I don't like that. It's just all
I want that. Can you make that a part of your merch? I don't like that.
I don't like. Yes, I absolutely can. Right.
I love that. I don't like that.
I just don't like that. Like, I get it. Like, you want to have pregnancies with your friends, but
God. Yeah. Oh,
God. Maybe just
I was like insane.
That's so creepy. I don't know. The whole thing just creeps me out. But we have also one, just Katie hasn't posted anything on her Instagram outside of like podcast promo stuff. So I wonder how she's kind of been doing with all of this. And it was like a selfie of her, like a bucket hat, which like very amazing. Thank you so much for that content. We really appreciate it. I haven't been following Katie's podcast because I do draw the line. But even though, as I'm about to say that, I'm about to actually stoop even lower. Dana from Vanderpump Rules, one season has a podcast, and yeah, I listened.
How was it?
It was just another reminder to me, to hopefully listeners, that hosting is a skill. You can't just be like, just because you're funny, like at a bar with your friends, having a couple cocktails, doesn't mean you can like host a show that is engaging and has a point. Yes. I listened to the one with Ariana. She was like, oh my God. So like, you grew up in Florida, right? She's like, yeah, I grew up in Florida. And she's like, okay. So like, were you near alligators and stuff, like in swamps? And Ariana's like, yeah, there's like a lot of that. It's Florida. And then like the two of them just like went on this like 8-minute tangent about alligators. I'm like, where are we going with this, lady? It's like, what is the point? And then at that point I was like, I gotta stop. Like, I can't.
Right.
I can't do this.
So you couldn't even finish it all?
No, I think I lasted like probably 8 minutes.
Like, oh my gosh.
Whopping eight.
That is, I guess how you said you draw the line with Katie. I think I might have to draw the line with that because I felt like Dana was even more monotone than Katie.
Oh yeah.
And I don't even know if that, even when, to me, it was like Katie doesn't try to go up an octave. She just is at the same place. It would seem like Dana was trying to go up in octaves and just still, it was like almost painful to watch. Yeah, I just couldn't.
Yeah. No. And I, you know, I like liked her on the show. I liked that she was really open. I liked that she was funny and she was actually like a comedian who made me giggle rather than like Rachel O'Brien, who's like, I'm a comedian. I'm like, you're hot and happened to show up at an open mic once. Like, that's it. Like, that is it. You're just not funny to me. Maybe just to me. Maybe I'm being rude. Shocking. But I liked her. And so I was like, actually like, oh, I wonder if this will be good. But it definitely didn't really hit the mark. And then that reminded me of when Ariana had a podcast like 5 years ago. Do you remember that?
With
that
I girl? Never listened, but I remember. Yes, I remembered it Meredith, because of. Yes, that was her name, because there was a Twitter argument with Stassi and Ariana over Twitter. Stassi, Ariana said something to Stassi, I think called her out for, said something racially insensitive, again, gender reveal surprise. No, and she and Stassi fired back with something like, you and your failed podcast. I was like, ew.
Again, podcasts have to have a point. Yes, anybody can buy a microphone and start a show, but if you don't have a point and people aren't listening, then what the fuck is the point? Like, my first show I ever did, I did it for 2 years on and off, like 2.5 years. 15 people would listen. And I'd be like, this was so awesome. I only did hours of work for it.
Right.
No one listened. And at a certain point, I'm like, all right, you got to cut bait. Clearly, you've got a passion for it. So now you have to fine tune what this show is actually going to be about.
Yep.
And now I'm here. But oh my God, today is actually my 2-year podcasting anniversary.
What? Happy anniversary, wow. Megan. That is awesome.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, that's crazy that I'm realizing it on air. How kismet. Oh my God. On such and a great show too.
I was going to say, and I'm honored to be a part of the 2-year anniversary.
Yes, episode 127 news episodes. That's fucking crazy.
Wow. And you're doing an amazing job. You're doing amazing, sweetie.
Thank you. Well, unfortunately, all this podcast talk came up because Stassi is starting her podcast again.
Yeah. Okay, so it's I saw a picture of her and someone said, it was on Instagram, and someone said, I think she's starting a podcast again or getting another show. And I never went back in. I don't think my heart could go on like Celine Dion said. So I don't think, I didn't know for sure. So she is coming back with a podcast?
Yeah, it seems like she confirmed it on Instagram. And I would put about $5,000 on it that it's going to be like, Stassi and Beau, pregnancy journey. Like, yes. As if like anybody wants to hear the two of them talk. Like, he was the reason her podcast failed. Years ago, I really liked her show. I was really into Stassi. I liked her guests. She had Rachel So on. She had like people in the fashion industry and writers and like really interesting people. And they actually had genuine conversations. And the moment she met Beau, she quit the show. She stopped. She started phoning it in. Beau was the guest every week. It was just Vanderpump Rules people. And it's like, okay, yeah, how many times can you and Kristen talk about going to eat Mexican food? Like, okay, like, it just gets a little boring. And it hurt my feet. Like, it hurt my feelings. What the fuck? And it broke my heart. But it did. It was upsetting as a listener to realize, wow, like, you get into a relationship and you ditch all of your career plans for this man. And I see it happen constantly. And even like with my own thing, I'm like, I do this fucking twice a week. Like, I do a lot of work outside of my normal job. And it does play a role. It does hurt my dating situation because it's like, hey, would love to hang with you. But I also have 2 hours of work tonight where I talk about Bravo, you know? So I understand where like that comes into play, but also to find a partner who like supports that and is like, you do your thing, I'll be in the other room. That's what you want, rather than someone being like, oh, you can't find a guest again, I guess I'll come on. Really?
Right. And it with the whole timber of this, because I remember like I would quit, go back quitting. Mm-hmm. I had stopped following after even though I'm ashamed to say it, like after the Oscar So White, I had still kind of listened and I'm like, why are you still listening to this? But it's like, I love podcasts, knowing that I wasn't enjoying it, hoping maybe for a good one. And because like you said, she started phoning it in and it just got so bad. Like whenever I would see his name, and because like I said, I would go back and forth. And then finally I was like, I'm just like done. I can't do this.
Yeah, no, I can't remember what was my final straw. I think it was just really when like guests just started being like, oh, we're going to have Rachel O'Brien on again. Great.
And talk about what you guys, we can tell your friendship is kind of taking a dip anyway. Like you could just, so it's like, okay.
Great. Can't wait to hear all about it.
I would really like to know why they stopped becoming friends, like the truth of it all.
I mean, I think they had like that one event. I feel like they were all on a boat. And it was like Kristen, Rachel, Stassi, someone else, I can't remember.
And Annabelle?
I think like whatever happened on that boat, it's a bigger surprise than like, what's his name? Christopher Walken and Natalie Wood. What happened on that boat? No, I want to know what happened on this boat in Los Angeles.
Because everybody's been tight-lipped. Like not even like the other person that was on the boat never spilled. So like everyone's been really tight-lipped about that.
I don't know. I'm going to do some sleuthing.
Please do and report back.
Thing for tonight. Well, I eat dinner and stalk strangers on the internet.
And you have to watch Roni's Secrets Reveal too.
Yeah, that's definitely a must. That's for sure going to happen. And then one more thing from Vanderpump Rules land. So we had this little tiff between Lala and Sheena. So Sheena was saying on her podcast, which again, you guys, I'm listening to other people's podcasts. I am working hard for these episodes, aka I'm really trying to, but it doesn't always happen. So she was saying on her podcast with Brock on the show as a guest, which again, like, is very much a mirroring the Stassi and Beau situation. Brock is basically her fucking permanent co-host. Megan? Oh, I can hear
you. I got you. I can hear you. Cool. Great. Okay. I was like, no, I was so in. I was listening. I'm like, no, what?
So Sheena was on her podcast and was saying with Brock about their situation with the miscarriage and how they both kind of handled it differently. So Sheena was saying that, like, she was very upset with Brock and how he handled it. She calls him and is like, hey, I had the miscarriage, whatever. He had, like, been gone for, he was up in Santa Monica or something working. She was in Palm Springs, so they're a couple hours away. So he didn't come home back to Palm Springs, and they found out he had a miscarriage, which, like, I don't know what his job is. Take a sick day. There's just, like, time and a place. You should probably be there for your partner. Anyways, so he didn't go the first night, and then the second night, he was like, okay, cool, I'm going to come over after work, but let me play 9 holes of golf first. Yes. And so she has to have dinner by herself, and she's sitting up at the house alone. Like, of course, she's, like, devastated, and he wants the potential father of her child near her.
Right.
So she knew Lala was in Palm Springs, and so she calls Lala, and she's like, hey, can you hang out? Like, I really, like, need to be with someone. I just want to talk. I really need to talk. And she was like, oh, sorry, I'm going to dinner with Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox and Rand. Do you want to come with us? And Sheena's like, absolutely not.
Right.
I just had a miscarriage yesterday. My boyfriend's not in town, and I just want to, like, stay at home. And she was like, yeah, she wasn't there for me, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, you said if I needed anything, you'd be there for me. Mm-hmm. So then Lala came into the picture with some Instagram comments saying, anybody wondering about my thoughts on Sheena, quote unquote, dragging me? I'm not tripping too hard. Anytime, I feel like I'm forced to do,
like, this affect, like,
yeah,
Lauren from Utah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna pop you. Like, okay, I'm gonna pop Sheena. She says, in her mind, that's how it happened. She would rather focus on me not being there for her than the fact that her man said he was working, turned his phone off, and went golfing that day. Weird how it was just glazed over. This is why her relationships are always a train wreck that make epic TV. She's reality TV gold. She just claims it shows celebrities over her. Girl, weren't you just capitalizing off banging John Mayer? True. She has a way of making everything about her, but I've accepted it and found enduring parts of it. She has an idea of everyone, blah, 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 blah. Nothing else juicy or fun. She did address what happened with Brock.
Yes.
And
yes,
he did acknowledge, I dealt with it poorly.
Yes.
And, like, we handle grief in different ways. And, like, he's like, I needed to unwind. And, like, I could see his side of it.
But I'm also,
like, a woman. And I'm like, if I had a fucking miscarriage and my husband was 2 hours away.
You better be here.
Honey, you get in the HOV lane with no passenger. And, like, you get here.
Right.
You do what you need to do to get here. It's just... So I understand, but Lala's also a piece of shit star fucker. So
for her to even put that, it's like the one girl that came out and had your back. How dare you?
It's not,
you know, when she first started working there and no one wanted to be your friend, the same people you made this pregnancy pact with. Well, one, you know, it's like, come on.
She's just trash. I'm just like, fuck you, Lala. Like, and of course, like, regardless of, like, your friendship with her and how you feel about her, she had a miscarriage and you are happily pregnant. Like,
right.
You need to see that your friend is struggling. Like, period, end of story. And I felt it was, like, very selfish. And I don't know. I'll be there for you, Sheena.
Oh, by the way, I can't come though.
Yeah. Okay. Just kidding. I have dinner with Andy Cohen and Teresa Giudice. Sorry. Yes. Those are celebrities.
And Lisa Vanderpump serving dinner. Like, yeah. You know.
We're actually going to pump. Oh my God. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. That's hilarious.
So weird. Well, to finish up today's very great episode, the 2-year anniversary episode, we have to talk a little bit about the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So Kyle Richards on the Secrets Revealed episode of this latest season of Beverly Hills. So Kyle went onto Instagram and saw a picture that Diane Keaton posted on Instagram with a woman who had really long black nails and a million different rings. And Diane just thought it was, like, cool and said, like, oh, I saw this psychic in Santa Monica, wherever they were, and I really liked this. And so Kyle ends up seeing it, sees one of the rings that she believes is her mother's ring. And if you guys don't remember, a couple of years ago, Kyle's house got robbed thanks to Teddy's husband's security system. So not shocking at all. So she got robbed and lost all of her purses and all her jewelry. So Kyle then assumes that the ring on this woman's pinky finger is her mother's ring. So her and Teddy, investigator Teddy, decide to go on a witch hunt, which I like, when I saw this, I was like, this is basically like Kristen and Stassi in 15 years, but like, they were more racially motivated towards like their witch hunt against Faith. But I was like, this is the same shit. Two fucking idiots talking out of their ass, like slandering someone's character. Oh, now she's a thief. And like, oh.
And wait a minute, the fact that you said Kristen and Stassi, because you know, what did Stassi say? You know, we thought we were like solving a crime or solving a a mystery or something like that. Like, whatever.
A mystery, like go. That was such yourself. That's why detectives, such a good reference. Detectives have badges for that. Like, you don't need to try. Like, you really don't need to try. So fast forward, this girl on TikTok sees this, and she's the granddaughter of Diana French, who's the lady with the rings. And she came forward and was like, excuse me, that is my grandma's ring. And I loved this TikTok more than life itself. She started zooming in on pictures of her grandma wearing the ring. And she was like, this is my grandma at my fifth grade graduation. And yes, this is my grandma 27 years ago, whatever. So she basically proved that, like, no, Kyle, this woman didn't tiptoe into your house with like a black sack and take your ring. Like, like you can't just like go accuse people of things, of theft of diamonds. Like,
and Megan, I thought that it must have been a one of a kind, because if it was a one of a kind, I could almost see her saying, oh my gosh, that's my grandmother's ring. It's one of a kind. It's a ring that they sell to more than one person. That, again, you just blatantly said on a national TV show. I'm so glad that the granddaughter stepped forward.
Same.
Like, anyway, Kyle, if you have any more questions.
Yeah. And also, like, this lady, Diana French, is now doing exclusives with ETV. Yes. Like, I saw her and, like, a reporter doing a 6-foot socially distanced outdoor conversation. And she was like, when did you get the ring? And she's like, 27 years ago. And I'm like, what am I?
Like, what has this come to? This
why
is what
do
we're
I
doing.
Give a shit. Like, why am I taking notes on this?
The fact that, and did you see, she said that she deserves an apology from Kyle and Diane Keaton. Like, wait, Diane Keaton just posted the picture. Like,
well, Diane Keaton called her a psychic on the promenade.
Oh, that's right.
I've been a pharmacist for 50 years. Right. They both start with P, but like, Diane, how much weed are you smoking?
You know what's crazy? Now that you say that, it's funny. Now I want to investigate that. Like, did you not want people to know you went to a pharmacy for something? Like, what? Yeah. What?
Mauricio at the agency sold a house. Like, someone at the agency sold a house to Diane Keaton, so they were able to easily contact her.
Right. And they had to throw that in there. Yeah.
God. It's like, yeah.
Well, I do believe Lisa Vanderpump when she said Kyle makes friendship because she wants the listing. She said that like twice and got the listing on the houses that she said that.
Yeah. And Doree just sold her house through the agency as did Teddy. So it's like, oh, wow. Crazy.
Right.
Who would have thought? Well, just to end the show on a very interesting note, we have Brandy Glanville, who has been a dumpster fire for the last couple of years, unfortunately. And she ended up having Dandy Cohen on. I just called him Dandy Cohen. Oh my God.
Daddy Cohen.
Daddy Cohen.
Dandy. He's a dandy daddy. Yeah.
So Brandy had Andy on the podcast, and they were talking about a bunch of different things. One thing that kind of slipped through the cracks was Andy was saying he's writing a book with Dave Quinn from People Magazine. And then Brandy was like, oh, can we talk about that? And he's like, no, I shouldn't say anything. So I wondered about that. I wonder what that book is about and why he would want Dave Quinn to help him write it. He's like the lead Housewives writer there and has been, I guess, on this show and was a total angel. That was interesting. But Brandy also said she was dating a Mormon guy. So I'm like, she literally will do anything to fuck her way onto the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Like, whose husband is she fucking on that cast? Like, she just wants to be a housewife in whatever it takes.
Oh my, that is insane. Okay, if she shows up, I'm officially off of Bravo.
Yeah, I would have to quit the podcast. Two years too many. Like, no.
It's like, oh, on my second year anniversary. Yeah. Sorry, Taria, we are done. Did you see the, did you already talk about the, I'm trying to think on your podcast. I listen to so many. And by the way, I get so excited when I see that it's a new episode you post. I'm like, yes. But the Brandy Glanville video of her son.
That's what we were leading into.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
Oh my God.
So yeah, she like went on Instagram and he basically did the same thing on her podcast as well, where he was like, please give my mom back a job so we can move out of this place. You guys have taken advantage of her too much. It's like, your kid is a teenager. He's going through puberty. I hear sounds in his voice and he's like, become a man. Like I do not need to hear this like charity case situation happening. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought that was so horrible and glad that Eddie did not agree. Remember when Eddie said they couldn't be on the show because who knows how she would have used them? Mm-hmm. I just thought it was, as Heather Dubrow would say, lowbrow and low base. And your son should not know. It's one thing to keep it real with your kids, but your job as a parent is to protect or shield them from certain things. So to have your son begging for a job back, saying that Bravo took advantage of you when you willingly gave Bravo the information, was so just, I felt bad for her son, actually. I really did.
I did too. It was like a total cry for help. And on the podcast, they said, Eddie's letting them go on the show now.
What?
I know. Which I'm like, no, I hope he wasn't like, whatever. Brandy really needs a job. And the only way she'll become a full-time housewife is if the kids are there. Which like, honey, no. That is not
what we want to see them.
That is not the saving grace for you. Yes, your kids are adorable and probably nice boys, but that is not what's going to get you anywhere near the show again.
Yeah, as what was her name? Jane from The Comeback. I don't want to see that. Yeah. I don't want to see that.
Exactly. No. Your ship has sailed, honey. Love you, mean it, but this is not going to work for you.
Like it just, and if she comes back, I feel like, remember when she was dancing that night at Kyle's party and got wild? And I was like, so I wasn't even embarrassed for her. I was kind of like disgusted. Like when she fell, I was like, that is Brandy Glanville.
I know. Like at a certain point, don't you stop partying? Like,
right.
Like you're on television, you're falling all over the place. You weren't even invited. What are you doing? Like, aren't you embarrassed? Like in any way, shape or form? And even like the kid said at one point, he's talking to Andy directly. He's like, if Brandy comes back onto the show, maybe she can clean up her image. This will be a good this will be a good way for her to clean up her image. And Brandy goes, I don't need to clean up my image. And he's like, no, mom, I didn't mean it like that. Like, I just meant like people will see a different side of you. And I'm like, oh my God. And then he said sweet stuff. He's like, Brandy, my mom's the best woman I know. And does it done. I'm like, of course, well, you're her son. Of course, hopefully feel
and,
that way.
And because she's the best woman you know, you might not want her on The Housewives.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you don't want to get back into this rodeo.
Right. If they bring her back, I feel like they are really scraping the bottom of the barrel.
I mean, let's just see. Bravo has been known to do some horrific things, especially now that like Denise is gone, Teddy's gone. They're going to have to do some nice little shakeup.
Yes, they're going to have to go all in to find someone. See what I did there? No.
I loved that. Well, that actually brings us to the end of today's episode. Thank you so much for coming on. This was such a blast. It's always good when, if I go over an hour, listeners, that's a sign that I'm actually having fun.
Oh, say that again, Megan. You faded out. And I was like, no, come back to me.
I said, if the show is under 40 minutes, you know I'm doing it with a gun to my head.
I love that. I thank you so much for having me. Thank you to your listeners for listening to me. I really, truly love listening to you. And it was such a pleasure. I think I laughed the entire time. So I'm sorry to your listeners' eardrums, but you are funny. So I couldn't help but laugh.
Well, where can people find you, follow you, and listen to your two amazing podcasts? I don't know how you can handle doing two of them. That would be a full time.
I'm going to get, it would, I could tell you if I was actually doing that. I have not posted on my other one since August 4th. And I literally have an episode sitting and waiting. Like it should have been out August 4th, but, or the next week. So I'm got to get back into that and manage time better. But you can, the podcast can be found on Apple, iTunes, or anywhere. Podcast can be sold. Oh my God. Anywhere podcasts can be found. One is Tales from a Butterfly. The other is We Go Podcast. What else is going on podcast? You can find me on Instagram. I spend a lot of time on the We Go Instagram. So it's WEIGO Podcast. It's the acronym for What Else Is Going On. WEIGO Podcast. On Twitter, I'm at T as in Tom, S like Sam, FAISON. And yeah, like I said, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you can find them. And a fun fact, if you click the link in my bio on the WeGo at WeGo Podcast, if you have an Apple phone, it'll take you to iTunes. And if you have an Android phone, it'll take you to a platform where you can listen on, you know, Android compatible.
Huh, I have to look at that because I've always wondered. I didn't realize.
I'll send you some info.
I'm such a nerd. I'm like, I really never knew like people with Androids didn't have access to Apple Podcasts.
I know.
Who knew?
And then it's like, oh, well, let me help you find. And then by that time, they're like, oh, forget it. I'll subscribe later. And then you know they're not going to. So it's like, I'll fix that. Here's a link for you. So I'll send you the info on that, what company I went through.
Yes, please do. Well, this was such a pleasure. I'm so excited to talk with you again on Monday.
Thank you. I'm excited. I will talk to you then. Listen, you are a busy, busy woman. Try to get some rest and have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Have a good one. We'll talk soon.
You too.
All right, bye.